Okay, well, welcome. Welcome to part two, sermon two of I don't know how many it will be. All right, in 1 John, as we started last week, today we are looking at this idea of fellowship with God. For those who weren't here, just a quick review. We talked about last week the central statement for our study being this, and I think I put it up there, Mr. Ron. Yeah, there it is, because oh, you're awesome. Okay, in 1 John, the author, which is John, the same writer of the Gospel of John and Revelation, said one of the disciples said he calls readers back to the three basics of Christian life. So true doctrine, because we're knowing what we believe, obedient living, and fervent devotion. And last week we looked at the first four verses in 1 John, there chapter 1, which was what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. It's not in there, Mr. Rhonda, by the way. Just reading it. That life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And so we looked at this idea of, in those verses, we see that this real life was revealed, experienced, and shared. And so now it brings us to today. Anybody remember Vinko Bogacek? Nope. You can go ahead and do this. I know you know who he is. All right. So he was a ski jumper from Yugoslavia who, while competing in the 1970 World Ski Flying Championship in West Germany, he fell off the takeoff ramp and landed on his head. And then ever since, the accident was used to highlight the thrill of victory, right, the agony of defeat on ABC's Wild World of Sports. Anybody remember that? Okay, yep, right, Mr. Yeager. Vinko was hospitalized after the spill, but he recovered. And later on, a producer for ABC interviewed him and for a special anniversary edition of the show. And he says, when we told him he's been on a program ever since 1970, he couldn't believe it. He appeared on television 130 times a year. But have you ever fell on your head, you know, figuratively speaking, right? Someone's like, yeah, I did it physically too. You know, just ever blown it? I mean, just really just completely messed up, you know? Well, maybe yours or mine, falling wasn't public like poor Vinko. All right, I think we can all relate, you know, that we have messed up. And so, and we're actually going to look at this again next week in a way, so very, very closely connected. But today's central statement is that John exhorts Christians. He encourages Christians. He tries to highly motivate Christians to acknowledge the goodness of God, to admit our failures, and to align our lives with the light of God. And so I'm sure I get an amen from Mr. Lawrence for my alliteration there. But acknowledge the glory and goodness of God. So number one, this is, we'll look first, the first verse, verse 5. It says, this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. So the word, this idea of light, I'm sure as we have some English and reading teachers here and former teachers here, the word light occurs in some form over 275 times in the Bible. That's a lot, right? 95 times in the New Testament. Obviously in literature, there's always been this contrast, right? Right, Dr. Williams, between good and bad, day and night, light and darkness. You know, you see that. You know, writers are even throw it in there in all in subtle ways, but it's an important part of literature. I mean, the third verse of the Bible is what? God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, so very early on. See, in verse 5, John tells us that God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. Well, that seems like a simple statement, but see, here's the deal. The point is, it's not possible for there to be any darkness in God because He is light. The very nature of light and dark, and I'm not the smartest person in the world, but you know, light and darkness can't be in the same space. It's either light or it's dark. It's not, you know. So I agree with the great theologian J. Vernon McGee. I like his stuff. I think he does a great job. And so I'm gonna use his little outline as we look at this verse 5. looking at the idea of acknowledging God's goodness. And so I think that I agree with J. Vernon McGee, who said that light, among other things, does three main things. It speaks to the glory and radiance and beauty of God. Okay? It reveals sin, right? And it guides people. Okay, so very simple. This is just in the first point here. And then I'm going to add a fourth one on my own, okay, as we look at this first point. And so the first thing that light does is it speaks to God's glory and goodness. Again, there is absolutely no darkness in God at all. It says that in verse 5. There's absolutely no darkness in him. Not even a little bit, Mr. Tom. Right, not even a smidge. 1 Timothy 6:15-16 kind of goes with this. God will bring this about in his own time. Listen to how God is described by Paul in his letter to 1 Timothy. He is the blessed and only sovereign. He's the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Who alone, listen, who alone, who alone? Nobody else, no one's with him. All right, he's by himself in this, who alone is immortal and lives in what? Unapproachable light. Okay? Unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and power. Amen. That makes me think, and it's not up here, Miss Rhonda. It makes me think of an Exodus and Moses, and we know when he got the Ten Commandments, and his face was shining, right? And then he went on in the tabernacle, and he had to wear a veil when he come before the people, right? He had to cover his face. And there's actually a verse in there that says, we can't go up there. The people, we can't go up there because we'll be killed. All right, it's God, right? Right, it's God's power, His radiance, His glory, His goodness is immortal. It's unapproachable. All right, no one can see or has seen or can see. So as John Calvin puts it, there is nothing in Him but what is bright, pure, and unalloyed. You know what alloy is, right? Okay, it's a metal that's made from combining two metallic elements. You know, no, it's not two. He's perfect. He's unadulterated, unfiltered. You know, you think about like these people who like to be on Instagram. They do all these filters, right? You know, make themselves look a certain way, right? Well, that's not God. Don't need no filter. Amen. Okay, go ahead and tweet that, whatever, right? Okay. He is altogether wonderful. He is altogether perfect. He is altogether unchanging and complete. Amen. Amen and amen. He is altogether magnificent, pure, excellent, and transcendent. McLaren said, there are spots in the sun. Right? I don't know if you know this. It's great, great tracks of blackness on its radiant disk, on the sun. Think of the sun. It's a massive thing, right? And then it's wonderful and it's bright and all these things, yet there are actually spots in it and great tracks of blackness. But in God is unmingled perfect purity. Amen? I mean, because we like to kind of take what our finite minds, we like to kind of relate it somehow and compare. God is uncomparable. Amen? This is like nothing we could ever imagine. I got to thinking because again, our finite minds are like, okay, well, see, how can I break this down? You know, I try to do that as a teacher. How can I put it in simple terms, or as a coach, right, Coach Mitchell? How can I make this simple? How can I compare this to? You can't. But I'll try. Okay, how about diamonds? Don't we think diamonds? Anybody think of diamonds as far as being pure, pristine, right? Perfect in a way, perfect not really, but okay. Did you know that the five most expensive diamonds, from the Pink Star to the Hope Diamond to one now called the Cullinan, range from $71 million to $2 billion? What? Okay, but listen, all these put together, along with all the diamonds in the world, still pales in comparison to our God. Amen? It's not close. All right, this is not close. And this brilliance also applies to God the Son. God said, not just God the Father, God the Son. John 8, the first part of verse 12 says, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. I'm saying, I'm the light. We already established that God is a light. Right? God is light, and there's absolutely no darkness in him. And Jesus said, yes, okay, I'm the light of the world. John, think about this. John is writing this. John saw God the Son, Jesus, in action every day. He lived alongside him. Right, Brother Tommy? He said, he camped out with him. right? He lived right alongside with Jesus. He has experience with him, and he's claiming, hey, that man, he is light. And in him, there's absolutely no darkness in him. He witnessed Jesus and his light. God is light, and again, there's absolutely no darkness in him. He knows what he's talking about. He saw it every day. So light speaks to God's glory, to God's goodness, and light reveals sin. It reveals sin. If I'm outside and I've, you know, growing up, we used to do crazy stuff like that. We'd play hide and seek, or we'd play, you know, different hide and seek type games. We might play capture the flag, you know, and you don't know, realize how dirty you are until you get back home and you turn the lights on and you're like, oh man, golly, I need to take a bath, right? And you know, the light reveals that to us, right? All right. See, and so is the same way that God does with us with our sin. Psalm 90, verse 8 says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Can't hide. We can't hide. You know, God knows. And I'm reminded of playing hide and seek with the girls growing up, and they're pretty good. Okay, and Sally, I'm always like the worst one, you know. But the best hiding spots were what? The darkest ones, right? You know, if I can get dark and, you know, which really, and they can't see me, those are always the best. But again, light reveals that darkness. It speaks again to the fact that light reveals sin, and also that light speaks to God's glory. And also light guides. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences, right? Back in the days before electricity, a tight-fisted old farmer was taking his hired man to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he went to call on his best girl. Okay? And he says, why? He exclaimed, when I went a courting, I never carried one of them things. I always went in the dark. Yes, the hired man said, Riley, and look what you got. All right. Light guides, okay, and not like the guiding light, Mom, if you're watching it, like the soap opera used to watch, but light guides. John 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, I am the light of the world. He says, anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Follow me, okay, do what I say, okay, follow me, do the things that I do. John 12, 46 says, I have come as light to the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness, but that again, that you will, we will follow him. So the simple question is, are we walking in the light? As we close out this section, again, light speaks to God's glory. It reveals sin, and it guides. But also, it should be shared, right? It should be shared as Christians. I would like to add Matthew 5 from the Sermon on the Mount, which I'm sure a lot of you have memorized. But you are the light of the world, he says, speaking to us as Christians. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Amen. May we be willing to share. As John Falconer said, I have but one candle of life to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. What a wonderful statement. C.T. Studd said something similar, and I'm guessing some of you have heard this quote before, but he said, some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Wow. Yeah. The idea of shining our lights to a dark world. Amen. So John exhorts Christians to first to acknowledge the goodness of God, how good God is. And we could do a sermon just on that, really, and stop there, and just, that's what worship is anyway, right? Acknowledging how good God is and how awesome and wonderful and mighty he is. And then secondly, we should admit our failures. We're going to look again at this in a couple weeks. But I think about you know, how sometimes when we do admit our failures, it's not really very sincere. You know, so let me give you two examples of students, okay? Two student examples from Hamlin County, school system that I've heard the last couple of weeks. One that I heard and one that I experienced. And so one that I heard, a friend of mine said that a little fourth grader told him, because he asked him, why are you, he was suspended from the bus. And he was like, you know, so my friend asked him, said, why do you have bus suspension? And I may have told you this, actually, but he says, because he accidentally slapped someone in the face. Yeah. that you accidentally slap someone in the face. How do you accidentally slap somebody in the face? I have no idea how that's a real thing. But okay, but on the other hand, you do have people. You have situations where people do, you know, where students do admit that they mess up, and that's always refreshing. So I actually had a student just this past week during a test, the first time this year that I caught somebody cheating. Right, and so I you can use a computer program to watch your students, right? And the student was looking up the answers on Google, all right, to a tough question, right? So I just simply chatted in there to them and says, you know, stay on the test, okay? Stop looking up answers on Google, all right? And so he was caught red-handed. But the thing that I appreciated about that student was that person immediately apologized and you could tell was immediately remorseful, you know, and was like, I'm so sorry, coach. And then came to me and wanted to tell me, not just on the text message, but tell me in person. It says a lot about that person and about that student and his parents for raising them that way, because he messed up, but he wanted to come to me. And it takes a lot for a seventh grader to apologize. And he says, I'm sorry, coach. I said, well, just don't ever do it again. I won't, coach. I won't. So anyway, now he may have been scared that I was going to call us home, but it doesn't matter. He was still, you know, I appreciate the fact that he admitted his failure. And because, I mean, let's admit that we don't always admit, right? You know, we do wrong. We try to hide it. Okay? I don't think I'm the only one there. Right? It's, you know, and when I say failures at this point, I mean sin. Okay, just so we're clear, all right, I'm talking about sin. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. Okay. Ooh, pretty strong words, right, Brother Tommy? All right. And so here's the deal. We can either cover or we can confess. Okay, cover or confess. But let's before we get to those two words, let's kind of get into this a little bit more. As children of God, we are called out of darkness into his light. Right, that we're called. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." But you used that earlier, right, to talk about the goodness and awesomeness of God. We previously walked, or we lived our lives in darkness, no light, no hope, right? And we are actually, as Christians, we are children of the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, for you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. See, as Christians, we don't belong in those places anymore. I can remember just very shortly after, and I think Sally knows this, and heard this story, I think I may have even told you guys, but shortly after I truly gave my life to Christ when I was in college, at North Florida Junior College. And I used to there was a group of guys that I would party with before that, right? And I can remember vividly, you know, them coming and say, "Hey, Murph, man, we're going to go to the club this Saturday. Man, you want to go with us?" I'm like, "No, I can't go." And they were like, "What? What you mean? What? Come on, God, come on, Pat, come on." You know, I'm like, "No, I can't do that. I can't be in those places anymore, you know, because I don't belong there. I don't belong in that place anymore, right? Those who do wrong, by the way, they hate the light. John 3:19-21. So it's the same author in his gospel says, "This is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. So it's not revealed that he did what he did. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accomplished by God." I'm saying when light shines in on us, it reveals our true nature, does it not? Like, you know, just how light reveals darkness and reveals, you know, our dirt spots, right? It reveals who we are. Ephesians 5, listen to what Paul says to the church in Ephesus. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light of the world." Who can say amen to that, right? I once lived in darkness, but because not anything I did, but because I've accepted what Jesus did on the cross is counting for me. Because of that, for the sacrifice, you know, we are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to walk that way. But for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Goes on to say, don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done by them in secret. Everything exposed by the light is made visible. So if we are truly God's children, what do we do with sin then? If we've established the fact that we are once in darkness, but now we're light in light, what do we do? Again, we can either cover or we can confess, right? I feel that a lot of times that covering is something that we just, this is our go-to, right? When we know we mess up from a young age, we immediately try to figure how do we cover that up, right? And the first thing we do is we're going to tell lies. We're going to lie, right? We tell lies to others, to ourselves, and to our God. Think of King David. You know, we don't have time today to go to that hole and read the whole scripture there. It's found in 2 Samuel. Okay, and actually in Kings as well, but 2 Samuel 11 and 12. What does he do? All right, sees a young lady. All right, sees her bathing. So, oh yeah, I think I like her. All right, he goes and has relations with her, and then covers it up. Okay? How does he cover it up? As if that wasn't bad enough, right? Has her husband, who was fighting on the front lines, right, defending the country. Oh, come on, let's bring him home. Okay? Gets him drunk, not once but twice, right? Now we got this. Surely this will work, man. Right, Mr. Tommy? All right, let's try it again. Oh, didn't work. Right. He wouldn't even go home. He had more integrity. Because I can't. How can I go home and be with my wife when my fellow soldiers are out there sleeping on the in tents? I can't do that. Right. And so the plan fails. And so what does he do? Sends the letter to by his hand to the other person in the army, say, hey, put him on the front line, and he does, and he dies, covers it up. Of course, later I love later how the prophet comes to him and says, "You the man," tells him a story and says, "You the man, did you know that you the man was in the Bible, Coach?" Mm-hmm. It's in there. He's you the man. He gets all mad. David, I can't believe they do that. No, you're the man. You did it. All right, your sin will find you out. Amen. King David was a great example. Warren Wiersbe said, "One problem with dishonesty is that just keeping a record of our lies and pretenses is a full-time job." That's so true. You ever lied and had to remember what you lied about? And had to remember that lie to cover that lie and that lie? Abraham Lincoln used to say that if a man is going to be a liar, he had better have a good memory. All right? Confession. So we can cover or we can confess. So a remedy to this is simply being honest. Admit what you did is wrong. Tell the truth. See, the function, Tony Evans says, the function of light is to reveal things as they truly are, right? To expose. He says, if you shine a light down a city alley at night, you'll see a bunch of cockroaches scatter because they want to do their dirty work in secret. We got a lot of cockroaches, right? Ooh. Brother Murphy trying to preach today. Right. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 says, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There is freedom. Because then when we lie and we cover, we're in bondage. Right? We're in bondage to that lie and to that lie. No, gosh, I can't remember that lie, and I've got to remember all those lies. Right? But no, here it says, "Where the spirit of the Lord, there is freedom." We all, with unveiled faces, are looking in the mirror as the glory of the Lord, and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Isaiah 9 verse 2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." In 2004, the governor of the state of New Jersey was caught in a scandal. Though he was married with a married man with children, he was also having a sexual relationship with a man. At the press conference he held to admit this, he began by saying, "My truth is that I am a gay American." Listen to what he said, "My truth." Those were very carefully chosen words. My truth. In the thinking of the world today, I have my truth and you have your truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." All right? And the Bible clearly tells us of a truth that is greater than any individual's feeling about it. See, there's no such thing as my truth. Your truth. There is truth and there's a lie. Amen? Oh, we got to get back to that, y'all. Unfortunately, I feel like we're about too far gone. Yeah. Again, there's a Jesus, and he's the truth, and he's the life. Amen. So John exhorts Christians to acknowledge the goodness of God, to admit our failures, and thirdly, to align our lives with the light of God. We see that in verse 7. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, as we align our lives with him, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses from all sin. You see some consequences there? You see if then, statement, right? Right, Doc? Okay, if and then. Conditionals, right? So walk in the light. Here's the deal. You're going to be very, very clear. And I'm going to say this again moving forward, okay? This walking is a pattern of living, okay? This isn't referring to sins because we are, while we're in this flesh, we're going to sin, okay? We're going to struggle, right? But we're talking about a lifestyle here, okay? A lifestyle of darkness, a pattern of living, okay? When it pertains to Christians, again, as well, we are referring to fellowship, okay, and not relationship. What do you mean? So if we, you know, the Bible is very clear on the eternal security of believers, okay? It's what we believe as Baptists, okay? What I believe personally, whether I'm a Baptist or not, okay? That I have placed my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross as counting for me, right? I have salvation, okay? And I have a relationship with God, but my fellowship could be broken, okay? My fellowship. So that means, you know, I like to use the example, you know, Sal and I are still married, but if I mess up and I'm, you know, say something I shouldn't say to her and I'm not very nice to her, she might not like me too much at the time. All right. Don't say amen, babe. All right. But we're still married. Okay. So our fellowship with God, our communion with Him, our feeling of closeness with Him will be hindered, okay, whenever we mess up and we sin. Yep. But if you truly place your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, you still have a relationship with Him. Okay. Just want to be clear on that. So to walk in the light means to reflect God's perfection in the human sphere, in both truth and holiness. This means to live consistent with God's command and character. This involves being sincere, open, honest, and transparent. Okay? D.A. Carson said, it is just not good enough to live with our eyes firmly fixed on some decent but merely human standard. The Christian is a servant of God, and thus his standards are God's standards. Okay. Matthew 5:48, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can't do it on our own, right? We have to rely on the Holy Spirit that we have when we accept Christ as our Savior, when we said we receive the Holy Spirit. As Christians, we strive to get in line with the things of God, or at least we should. It should matter. And listen, if you proclaim to be a Christian and that doesn't interest you, you might better check yourself. Okay? Just being honest from the pulpit. Okay? That should be a desire. The very thing that you feel remorse, that you feel regret, is a good sign. Okay? Because if you didn't, that's not a good sign. Okay? You're just going sinning like nothing, right? Isaiah 2, verse 5 says, House of Jacob, come and let's walk in the Lord's light. Okay? We can change that if we want to now. Come, Christians, listen, come, let's walk in the Lord's light. Let us do that. I think that's a good comment there by Isaiah. There are two consequences, like we mentioned earlier, that this is conditional. All right, go back and it's not, I don't have it up here again, Miss Rhonda, but let me read it again. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's two things here. We have fellowship with others, and we have sin that's cleansed. Amen? Fellowship with others, and we're going to look more at this soon as well, but this fellowship is the shared knowledge of God's light and love, and is one of life's deepest satisfactions. You heard it this morning as you walked in. That's what you heard. As you heard people talking and loving, as you see a baby that we prayed for, and we're just smiling, and she's laughing at how funny Patrick looks, all right, you know, or whatever. But you see us talking and having just a good time with each other. Right, that's fellowship, and with all due respect for those who might watch online and listen online, that won't ever be like being here. It won't. We've lost that. We've lost that from COVID. COVID messed that up. Now, COVID didn't stop the gospel being shared. Amen. That's not stopped. But we also have given people an excuse to stay home. Right, that's exactly what's happened. We can just watch it at home. And while that's great, if you do that, you're not getting the fellowship of God that you're going to get with the body of believers. Amen? It's not the same. It's not the same. And I'm so thankful for those of you who are here this morning. So get plugged into a church. Okay? We're not perfect. we're far from it, right? Amen? Over me. Right? But we live our lives as best we can to honor our Lord and Savior. We try to love God. We try to love others. And so we have fellowship with others, and we have cleansing of sin. The word for cleanses, by the way, is a continual cleansing. The tense that's used there, which is just more proof that it's a reality that we are going to mess up. Right? Because we're consistently in need of cleansing. Right? This is more than just forgiving. It's the erasing of the stain. Ephesians 1:7-8. I have several scriptures here as we close out today that I want you to just listen to, and I hope it's an encouragement to you that if you walk in a light, that if you, again, like I mentioned earlier, if you truly have accepted what Jesus did on the cross is counting for you, I want you to be encouraged by these words and listen to what happens because of that transaction, so to speak. Right? Ephesians 1:7-8 says, "In Him we have redemption," and redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to what? The riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. Not according to anything we have done, right? To grace. Hebrews 9. "But Christ has appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands." That is not of this creation. Sally read this earlier, but I just wanted to look at it again. "He entered the most holy place once for all." See, because back in Old Testament times, they would have to come, okay, you know, and all the time, and then at least once a year, and they would do this, right? But no, Jesus did it one time, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a young cow, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God." Oh, precious is that flow. Right? That washes white as snow. 1 Peter 1:18-19. "For you know that you were redeemed." You are redeemed. We're going to look at that word again in detail in a couple of weeks. "From your empty way of life, inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb." Right? Jehovah Jireh. Amen. God will provide. And just like that ram in the thicket, man. Right? Jesus was for us. Titus 2:14. "He gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for Himself a people for His own possession, eager to do good works." And that should describe everybody here. Charles Spurgeon says, "If guilt returns, His power may be proved again and again. There is no fear that all my daily slips and shortcomings will not be graciously removed by this precious blood." Because we trust in what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. So may we recognize God's goodness and perfection. May we acknowledge it. May we admit our sin. And may we align our lives with the light of God. Keep striving. Shine your light. As we conclude and ask the ladies come up. Charles Spurgeon says, "The idea of having no sin is a delusion. The idea of having no sin is a delusion. You are altogether deceived if you say so. The truth is not in you, and you have not seen things in a true light," Charles Spurgeon says. He goes on to say, "He who cannot find water in a sea is not more foolish than the man who cannot perceive sin in his members. As the salt flavors every drop of the Atlantic, so does sin affect every atom of our nature." Okay? We're sinful. We're sinful, but thanks be to God. Amen. Right? "I was lost, but I was now found. I was blind, but now I see." So do work with the Holy Spirit this morning and ask God to examine your heart. Just like David says in Psalm 51:10, "God created a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me." May that be our prayer today. That we come and we confess, and God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And if you're tired of striving on your own strength, give it up. Right? No amount of scrubbing is ever going to remove that sin. You need an advocate. Okay? We'll look at that in a few weeks. You need an advocate. You need a substitute. You need an atoning sacrifice. We'll look at that soon. Right? You need a redeemer. You need another. His name is Jesus. So if you've never asked Him to be your Savior and Lord, I pray that you will make that decision today. All right, and as Sally leads us in the